It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Were super necessary.
God, Eric, my God!
Unbelievable! Right there! Come and done! You gotta be kidding me! You gotta be kidding me!
He can't say much other than wow.
Hello?
Yes, brother. How are we doing?
Yeah, sorry, man. You're connected to my speakers.
All right, okay.
Sorry about that.
No problem at all. How are you doing? You good?
I'm good, man. How are you? How's your day?
I'm good. It's been good, thank you. Yeah, thank you very much for joining me. So, let's jump right into it then. So, for those who are just joining me, joined by LFL heavyweight champion Mario Pinto. Got a big fight coming up next month, which we'll come on to in a little while. But first things first, how I always start these is just, how did you get started in MMA?
How I got started? I always had an interest for it. Always, like, when I was younger, I used to watch a lot of Strikeforce with my dad. And then when I watched it, I was like, that's what I want to do, man. Definitely. And then as soon as I think I was like 17, I joined my first MMA gym. But like before that, when I was playing basketball, I was doing boxing and karate. So that's probably what started my journey.
Yeah. What was it about Strikeforce in particular that sort of made you stand up and take notice? Because, I mean, it was brutal back in the day. Not a lot of people would have looked at that and thought, that's what I wanted.
I know. It was when I was watching Frank Shamrock as well. Yeah, and he was having his run there. And I just said, I like it, man. I like the styles. He was he liked to mix the styles as well. He wasn't one-dimensional. So I was just like, man, I really want to do that. And it was like open combat. It wasn't just one discipline.
Yeah,
you know, and I was like, yeah, this is what I want to do for sure.
You mentioned there you'd always been sort of doing boxing and karate and things like that. Did having that sort of knowledge of those going into MMA, did that help you at all?
I'd say a little bit. Like I did the martial arts. I did was like it was more self defense. So, but then when I went into MMA, I said, yeah, man. Like some of the principles, they helped a little bit, but yeah, like if someone told me what they'd rather do, I'd be like, it's got to be MMA.
Yeah.
Because it's just not realistic with the karate I was doing. The boxing for sure helped me a lot with my base. And but the karate I was doing back then was more, you know, I understood the principles, but it just didn't correlate well with MMA, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I think that was the thing when, like, especially when I was younger, karate was like the big thing that people just wanted to do. But like you say, it wasn't really, there's not many people making a career out of that, is there? So,
100%.
So I just wanted to touch on your gym. Firstly as well, Fight Zone London.
Yeah.
How important and how impactful have they been in shaping your development as a fighter?
Oh, it's been great, man. Especially being in London. I've got a great team there, good coaches, good set of coaches there. And the main thing is that all the coaches are happy to add implication of MMA in their own individual disciplines like jiu-jitsu, wrestling. You know, it's not like if I go to a no-gi class or a wrestling class, they're like, you only come in and do no-gi.
Mm.
Like, you only focus on the sport of jiu-jitsu, where when I go there, my jiu-jitsu coach, Nico, he's always happy to show me variations and how I can change certain positions and make it more adaptable for MMA. He's fought MMA before, which has helped me a lot. So it's been definitely good, definitely great.
Yeah. The team there, are they kind of in a way that they don't try and teach everybody the same? Like, yeah, very tailored to you as a fighter personally?
Yeah. Yes, like for my MMA training, yeah, for sure. Because like my head coach is Stuart Austin.
Mm-hmm.
He's a veteran of the game. He's got a fight coming up in October. Not October, sorry, this month in Octagon. So he's definitely he's been to so many gyms. He's trained a lot, so he understands how the session should be done and how it should apply to your game.
So 2023, hugely successful year for yourself.
Yeah.
Obviously, as you mentioned, becoming the LFL heavyweight champion. Less than 2 years into your professional career, did you expect this level of success so soon?
Yes and no. I thought I wanted to be more. I was struggling to be quite active early in my career. I was struggling to get fights. I was trying to at least on average get 3 fights a year, hopefully 4. I mean, in 2023 is the most fights I've had in 1 year. Obviously, because I did 3 in 1 day, but like I was hoping to have had more, but everything comes into motion, and I'm a quite patient person, so.
Yeah, you mentioned that there, the tournament that obviously you won to become the champion, fighting the 3 times in the 1 day. What's
Yeah.
the preparation for something like that like in comparison to a regular camp?
I mean, the preparation is just you just got to be the best that you can be. You can't overlook everyone. You can't overcomplicate everyone's style and game. You gotta have just one style for yourself. You have to look at it more strategically in the way you win and not who you're fighting, because like all of them were different shapes and sizes, different styles. So you just got to tell yourself, look, I either got to get them out quickly as possible. Or if it goes to decision, I have to take the least damage, especially if it's not the last fight. So on the day, I took the first guy out quite quick, so that helped me. The second guy, I went to decision, but I was still able, like I was being efficient, watching my gas tank, not trying to give too much, get too tired, and that definitely helped with my cage experience, getting cage time and understanding that at the end of every round, I have to be the winner. Especially if it goes to the judges' scorecard.
Well, that's one thing I was going to mention. Obviously, the semi-final and the final of that tournament are your only 2 fights that have gone the distance. Obviously, with there, I suppose you can't really, it must be harder to, obviously harder to game plan how you'd like the fight to go. But ordinarily, are you always sort of looking for the finish in your fights?
I mean, yeah, man, if I can get the finish, if I smell blood in the water, I'm gonna go for it. Like in the second fight, I dropped the guy twice. So I did see a bit of red, but I had to still stay disciplined, not blow out the gas tank. Because when someone's hurt, but I can tell when they're still there. And the guy, he had a great chin. He dropped twice, but he was still there to fight. So I just had to, you know what? I've dropped him twice. I've won almost every round. So I'm just gonna cause. And I was happy to go to decision. The first time in my career ever, even amateur, I never went to decision. So I needed the experience. I needed to feel that pressure. When you're like, okay, like it's not going like a lot of people, they go into the mindset like I have to win by knockout. And then when the person, their opponent's not going anywhere and it's still in front of them, they start to lose, discipline, they start to lose confidence. And I was just like, that's not going to affect me. I'm going to keep coming forward. And at the end of the day, it's a sport,
You mentioned there, like obviously you had your opponent down twice in that semi-final. If that wasn't the circumstance it was, if that was just a one-off fight, even though you thought he might not have been it, would you have gone for the killing, sort of gone all out on it there? Was it different because of the circumstance?
Yeah, for sure. I think so. If I had known I didn't have to fight one more time after that, I probably would have been a lot more aggressive in my approach. But I was just thinking, I don't want to, because also when you're trying to like take someone out, you can hurt yourself during that process. Like especially if you're throwing wild ground and pound, and most of the times you're probably just hitting their skull with your knuckle, and a lot of the time that's how fighters break their hand. So I could have gone more aggressive, taking him out, and then going into the next fight. I busted up my arm, my leg. It's just like it wasn't necessary.
Definitely. So in the final, obviously you beat Moreno. I'm not sure how to say his second name, but Moreno Casapor, I'm gonna say. You were due to fight him in a rematch back in July, which unfortunately obviously didn't go ahead. Looking back now, were you happy? Not happy necessarily, but did you welcome the extra bit of time off, obviously having fought 3 times in a night a couple of months before that?
The time off was good. Just time to reflect and actually get better. That's the main thing, is just improving and looking back at what could be better and actually settling as a heavyweight because I was still quite light in the tournament, but I was quite ill heading to that tournament. So I lost a lot of weight.
Right.
And then I was like 103 kilos. So I had to put the weight back on. So yeah, it's been feeling good.
I mean, it's a testament then to like how good your skills and abilities actually are. If you know, you're heading into something as big and time consuming as that, and after being ill and still going in and putting on the performances you did is incredible, to be fair.
Yeah, I know.
So just going back to before LFL, your last fight before signing with them, you won it via rear naked choke. Given the way a lot of your fights tend to go, do you think your ground game is overlooked by some people because of the power that you've got?
I don't know what the ground game is. What's ground game? I don't know what jiu-jitsu is. I don't know what jiu-jitsu is, man. I don't do all that stuff. No, I'm joking. I don't know if it's overlooked. Like, I think a lot of the times people, like, I got into MMA because I'm an all, I like, I want to learn everything. I want to be a, I'm not a one-dimensional fighter. You know, I like to blend everything. So if people think I'm a knockout artist, then I hope they think that. But definitely, no, I like, for any fighters out there who's paying attention, yeah, meet me in the middle and we'll stand and bang. I don't do nothing else.
Love it, love it. So obviously LFL have been great for you so far. Considering it's such a young company, obviously the show coming up is only their 11th show. What have you been, what's your overall sort of impression been with them as a company so far?
They've been great, man. They're putting on great works, giving fighters opportunities and really giving them good exposure, you know, and a very professional, probably the most professional show I've been on so far. And I've been treated well. And they give you fights. That's the main thing. You know, they give opportunities for fighters to do what they love and to do their job. So, and they're only going to get bigger. They're still fresh, but they're growing, expanding well. Their media is great. So, and like, you can see from my fights, like they're not feeding me cans. I'm not trying to be a can crusher. You know, that's the main thing I have to say with LFL. Like the last guy I fought, I mean, look at the size of him. Like he's won all his wins by first round submission. You know, like he had to cut weight to make heavyweight. You know, he's like fought in ADCC. Like the guy was serious. You know, and he was a late replacement as well. So that was dangerous for me as well. But I still showed up. You know, and I was before that I was supposed to fight a UFC vet.
Nice.
But now I'm fighting another guy. He just won recently as well. So he's definitely like I'm fighting guys who want to win, not show up. I'm fighting guys who want to win, and they're very dangerous fighters.
Yeah.
You know that.
Where do you see European MMA at the moment? Like I personally, I think it's in the best place it's ever been, and you've got so many great shows. You mentioned Octagon, obviously LFL. You've got like Hexagon and Aries over in France. There's so many great companies that are doing big things in Europe at the moment. Do you think this is the start of Europe sort of taking over in a way?
100%. I think it's just going to grow, especially Octagon, man. They're putting on shows like almost every month.
Yeah.
So they're really pushing it for fighters. I think the Europe, there's parts of Europe where they really, really support MMA, especially like KSW, but KSW likes to stay in Poland a lot.
Yeah.
Where Octagon's going, like they're going from different place, which is good. They're branching out, getting the different audience, and it definitely needs to get better in Europe because there's so much talent in Europe, and I'm all for having more shows. You know, I know there's that one big show that everyone knows and wants to go to, you know, and definitely it's my dream, my goal to go there, but I'm all for having more fight shows for fighters to make a living and have opportunity. You know, we need more of that. It's hard when it's just one show and fighters don't have an opportunity to go and have a career, you know.
Yeah.
So the more the better. It's like all these other sports, football, basketball, like especially football, there's so many different organizations where fighters can, I mean, footballers can make money and make a living.
Yeah.
So I want that for fighters for sure.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think, you know, not everybody's going to get to go to the UFC, are they, unfortunately. And I think, especially in the UK now, I know London is really show heavy at the moment. I think Fightstar is obviously one of the big ones down there. We've got a lot of good shows up here in the north, and
Yeah.
it's UK MMA in particular, I think, is in a fantastic place at the moment.
Yeah, for sure.
So moving on to your next fight, then, you are scheduled to fight Kasim Aras on the 18th of February. He's a very experienced opponent. Just fought on Bellator a couple of times last year.
Yeah.
What do you make of him as an opponent?
I think he's a very tough opponent. He's quite awkward because he's short and stocky. So, like, people always say, oh, you've got the reach advantage. Those guys are very dangerous to fight. You know, they tuck their chin down for a big overhand. They're going to change level change, set up feints. He's got the experience as well. Very good Greco wrestling. So I think it's a definitely good fight for me. And he's coming to win, you know. He's a tough guy. He's going to give me some experience, and I'm happy to go all five rounds and drown him.
Yeah. His promotional debut as well, his first fight in LFL, and he's gone straight into the title fight. I think that shows the level that he's at. Do you
For
think
sure.
this is your toughest test to date?
100%. Yeah, for sure. Especially with the experience he's had fighting on a bigger show, you know, and he's got loads of experience. I think he's training out of Germany. Very good gym there, good fighters out there, you know. So it's going to be a good test for me. I need it. I need these things. I don't need easy fights, you know.
Yeah.
I need these experiences.
Yeah. So are you right now, this stage in your career where you're at, are you looking at fights that are going to test you if they offered you a fight that you considered to be, you know, someone that maybe is a got a sort of bit of a poor record or anything like that? Are you wanting to sort of steer clear of them and only fight better and better every time?
Oh yeah, for sure. I think especially like if you're in a promotion like LFL and you're the champion, it just doesn't make sense to fight guys with who like you don't want to go to a show. You don't want to see a fighter on a show where you see the fight and you're like, oh, he's gonna win that. Like I mean, like you know, like he's already like it's just that guy's going there to lose. It's just pointless. It's not good for your credibility and for like your future career. People, because I'm noticing now bigger shows like for example UFC. They're looking at fighters' records now, and if they're actually looking at whether you're fighting cans or not.
Yeah,
and I think even Topology is doing that now as well. If they've seen that you're fighting someone who's actually like the guy's like 0-17, like they don't consider that an actual fight.
Yeah.
So like, and it just doesn't do any good for you. It just doesn't like. I understand like when it's your early fights and stuff, and you need to build confidence. But now in this part of my career, I don't need to fight guys who are going to show up and just fall down. It just does nothing for me. It's a waste of camp. I don't get better. I don't see where I need to improve. You know, it's just pointless. And then, like, I've had fights like that before in my amateur career. And, like, you think you don't learn anything. And if your confidence goes up, it's false confidence. And it's that's very dangerous for a fighter, you know. Like, my last fight, you know, the guy was very dangerous. You know, I overlooked his strike and he caught me with a knee. So, like, I learned from that. He made me make a lot of mistakes in that fight as well. Like, so definitely I've improved a lot from it. You know, I've studied it. I've studied Kasim a lot. Dissected him. And looking for the win, February 18th.
I think it's a very interesting point you make there as well, because you don't really hear that a lot. It's, you know, saying it's dangerous to you as a fighter fighting cans, because like you say, you're not learning anything about yourself, you're not improving yourself, and I suppose then when you do come up against an opponent who is a step above, you're not prepared as you think you might be. So I think it's a very interesting point actually.
Yeah, because like a lot of I think the blueprint before. I think especially for like guys of a heavier weight, like light heavyweights or heavyweights, it was just like, oh, get to 6-0, be undefeated, or 5-0, undefeated, and like no one's gonna care about who you fought, and then boom, you just go to a big show.
Yeah.
You go to these big shows and then you get fed to sharks, like guys who know what they're doing. Like you're fighting people who know how to use their weapons, and then a lot of people get hurt that way and their confidence just goes. Their career just changed drastically. So, like, I'm not in a rush. I want to gain experience, gain confidence, you know, really study the game, understand how the sport works, understand how these promotions work. You know, it's very important.
Yeah, no, it's a great mindset. So I just wanted to ask you about one of your teammates. I spoke with him recently, Shark O'Malley. Obviously, he's signed
Sharp
to.
Omar, the big body banger. Ha
He's a dangerous man, that's for
ha.
sure. Obviously, he signed to LFL himself
Yeah.
in your division. How much potential does he have?
Oh, bro, sky's the limit for Sharp O'Malley, man. It's what he's done as well in his amateur career. It's like it's just crazy. Like he's fought harder people than I fought when I was an amateur. He's learned so quickly as well, and he's still learning, he's still growing and just adapting. And people don't understand Shah's full game. It's crazy. And it's always gonna be he's always gonna be leveling up, and you're just gonna see more and more.
Yeah. Obviously mentioned there he's in your division, same organization.
Yeah.
If it ever gets to the point where, your champion is number one
Yeah.
contender, is that something you just both consider, or is it a complete no-go?
No, absolutely not. I think we always get this question all the time. Like, it never comes to my mind. I will never fight Shah. I
Yeah.
don't care. I don't care about like how much I'm being offered or the money. I can't like what we have as a team, me, Shah, Stuart, all the guys, like even the girls there, like we don't, and I can't visualize myself fighting someone who I, because he's more than a teammate,
Yeah.
he's my friend, and I can't. When it comes to fighting, it's more deeper for me. So I was like, I'd rather relinquish the belt.
Yeah.
You know what I
No,
mean?
it's great to see. Obviously,
Yeah.
it's understandable you get them questions, but
Yeah.
like you can tell the bond that you're having in the gym,
Yeah, yeah,
it's more important than
yeah. Yeah, of
any
course.
money, any title,
Yeah, man.
anything like that. So I respect that.
Yeah.
Speaking of the gym again. You've had yourself, you're the UK ranked number one heavyweight.
Yeah.
Shah, as an amateur, was the number one ranked amateur heavyweight in the
Yeah.
country. In terms of other talent in the gym, is there anybody we should be looking out for?
What in the gym? Upcoming talent for sure. Who've we got? Nah, a couple of boys and that. Well, I'll tell you one guy, but he's not at the gym at the moment. He's in India. But definitely a welterweight. His name's Varun. Varun, definitely somebody. Well, you're gonna have to wait for him to come back. He's doing quite well. A couple of the other, we've got Sydney, very good middleweight coming up. Man, it's just the talent is endless
Yeah.
right
And
now.
like what's it like? Obviously you mentioned Stuart, the head coach. Obviously he's got his fight on Octagon. What like what's it like learning from him every day? So experienced, so like he's been in the game for so long.
I think the great thing about Stuart is that he's always trying to learn as well. So that helps. He's got every time I'm training with him, there's something new. There's something new to teach. Or there's a different way to look at something he's already taught. So I'm always learning. Plus also the experience he has is just you can't take that for granted. It helps so much. And understanding the game and understanding the mistakes that he's made, and he doesn't want us to do the same, especially in fights. He's had so many fights as well. Plus he's judo experience. He's been an athlete for so long. He did judo for 15 years, So it's just great having him as a coach, And he's leveled up my game so much, especially being patient with me because I'm a hard person to teach sometimes. Yeah, so he's been very patient with me. He's like, if you put in the time for Stuart, you'll put in the time back. He doesn't care. He doesn't care who you are. Which that's why I think I clinged on to him. He doesn't care if you're this mega star, if you're the most talented guy in the room. He says, as long as you put in the work, as long as you show up, if you show up for class, he'll put in time for you. And I think that's what I like. He doesn't care about your popularity, who you are. There's guys who are so talented, they've got all the skill in the world, but they don't show up. They don't show up for their teammates, and they don't bring good chemistry to the team. He's got no time for that. So
Yeah.
that's what I really appreciate a lot.
Yeah, well, I mean, as you know, they always say, hard work beats talent, doesn't it?
Yeah, 100%.
And it seems like that's a good value to have in a gym. And obviously, you got to leave your ego at the door. Like that you said, he
100%.
doesn't care sort of who you are in that respect. It's must make life a lot easier for everybody in the gym that everybody's getting that same level of respect as long as they're putting that work in.
100%, man.
So to finish off then. What what's 2024 looking like for you in an ideal world?
Definitely, I want to have at least four fights this year. Four fights, man. 100%. Potentially two more title defenses, and then we're gonna see what happens.
Yeah. So, have you got a like have you got a deal with LFL? Like, have you got so many fights with them, or is it just sort of fight by fight at the minute?
Fight by fight.
Fight by fight. Right. Okay.
I think, but like, if I'm defending the belts, it's just gonna be fight by fight, to be honest. But I'm working with LFL, so we've got a good relationship right now.
Yeah.
Plus, I'm with yeah.
Yeah. Well, look, really looking forward to seeing your fight on the 18th. You know, going to be a big occasion for you and obviously Shard as well, fighting on the same night. Big night for the team. Looking forward to seeing it. But yeah, thank you very much for joining me, Mario. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you, Baba. Thank you so much, man. Thank you for giving fighters a platform to speak their voice. And I always appreciate it, man.
Yeah, anytime. Look, you know,
thank you.
If I can do anything to help fighters even a little bit, then that's why I'm doing what I'm doing. So it's always a pleasure to speak to you. And I really appreciate your time.
Of course, man. Thank you so much.
Right. Take it easy, mate.
All right, bro. Have a nice day.
You too.
This is the greatest. I love it.
It was super necessary.
Go now.